Well, good morning, church. My name is Joel Wells. I'm the lead pastor here at Harvest City Church. If you're visiting with us this morning, it's great to have you here on this Easter Sunday. And of course, today, the focus of the service is on the resurrection of Jesus. It was on a Friday when Christ died, and of course, it was at the cross where our sins were washed away and where the judgment of God was executed against them. It was at the cross where the great exchange took place. Jesus took our sins upon himself, and he made available to you and me his righteousness. But at the moment of his death, there was a lot of confusion amongst his followers. They didn't understand what was being accomplished in that moment. They didn't realize this great victory that was being won. They didn't realize that hope was actually being released to all of mankind. And so the mood of the disciples at that time was one of fear. It was one of disappointment. They were disillusioned. They were broken. But that pain and disappointment was about to turn into great joy and great expectation as they discovered that the stone covering the tomb of Jesus had been rolled away. His body was no longer there, and his grave clothes had been left behind. He had risen from the grave. What a glorious day. The resurrection of Jesus gave proof and revelation to what had actually been accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Jesus truly had defeated sin and death. The chains that bound us, they were now unlocked. The prison door that we were kept behind was now open. A way had been made for an eternity in heaven with God. Where sin had kept us from relationship with God, the chasm between us and God had now been removed. That was the power of the resurrection. It changed everything. For the past few weeks, we've been doing a series of messages with you that we have called Cross Culture. And we've been looking at how the cross not only gave us freedom from sin, but actually became the focal point for us of a new way to live. Jesus came to deliver us, but he also came to establish his kingdom on the earth. His kingdom has a culture, and that culture is often counterculture, cultural to the ways of this world. As citizens of heaven, our lives are to be shaped and to be influenced by this culture. Now, because the culture of heaven is so different than the culture around us, when we come into contact with it, we often find that it rubs against us and it compels us to change and it challenges our points of view. And we've spent some thought-provoking weeks looking at how kingdom culture shows us that the way up is actually down, that the least is the greatest, that the servant has the highest honor. Last week, Jason showed us how this plays out in our everyday lives as he exhorted us that in our relationships, we need to come in low and we need to come in soft and then we need to come in lifting. I would say that these have not been fluffy messages. They have really called us to examine our hearts and to see if the attitude that is in Christ is actually reflected in our lives. But today, I want us to look at cross-culture through the lens of the resurrection. You see, the resurrection is a part of shaping the way we live as well. In fact, the resurrection has a dramatic effect on how we view our circumstances. The resurrection changes how we see our past, how we see the present, how we see the future. It should change even how we speak and how we approach every situation that we face in our lives. If the cross showed us the power of laying our lives down, the resurrection showed us the power of what's possible. It sets the foundation for living our lives with great expectancy. Church, the culture of the kingdom of heaven is one of eternal optimism. It is a culture of overcoming. It is a culture of never giving up hope. The resurrection established this. As the disciples encountered the risen Christ, we see that their despair turned to joy, fear turned to boldness, disillusionment turned to purpose. From that moment on, they lived their lives with this expectation of breakthroughs, of miracles, of the impossible being possible. A revelation of the power of the resurrection, I believe, empowers us to live overcoming lives. But here's the truth. Many of us do not live in the power of the resurrection. We often do not live with great vision and with purpose. We often fear the worst. We are often controlled by worry and weighed down by discouragement. Negativity and despair are often reflected in the language that we speak. And I want to tell you this morning that this is not the language of heaven. Church, we need a revelation of the power of the resurrection, because without it, we won't live the lives that we're called to live. And we won't see the things that we need to see. You know, one of the prayers that the Apostle Paul prayed for himself in Philippians 3 was for this very thing. He said, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection. He prayed something similar for the believers in Ephesus. In chapter 1, verse 18, he said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Paul understood that a revelation of the power of the resurrection was critical for us to be who God has called us to be. The greater our revelation of it, the more dramatic effect it will have on how we see things. And today I want to discuss a couple thoughts on how this revelation changes our viewpoint. As we get this revelation of the resurrection and what was accomplished there, it changes how we see some things. The first is we begin to see life in what appears to be dead. You know, there's an amazing story in the Bible where Jesus performed this incredible miracle. Jesus had been approached one day by a man named Jairus who begged him to come to his house to heal his daughter who was dying. And Jesus agrees to come, but on the way, this crowd of people surrounds him. And there was a woman in that crowd who had been bleeding internally for 12 years. But somehow on that day, she pushed through the crowd. She managed to touch the hem of Jesus and was healed instantly. And Jesus realized that when she touched him, he felt the power of God go out of him. And so he stopped and he began to ask, who touched me? And he discovered this woman, and a conversation with her ensued. But while all this was happening and this woman was receiving her miracle, Jairus was losing his. And Mark 5:35 says, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and they said to him, your daughter is dead. Why bother this teacher anymore? The report to Jairus was so hopeless. They're saying, it's over, Jairus. It was a good try, but it's too late. Why bother the teacher anymore? And of course, there are many of us that know this voice all too well. We know the pain of unmet expectations, of dreams that have died, of prayers that we've prayed that seem to have gone unanswered. Many of us have experienced things that have brought such a sense of despair that this question of why bother is a voice that dominates our thinking. I hear this voice often in the language of our society. We live in a culture of negativity, of complaining and frustration and anger and depression. It's the language of defeat. It's the language of the one that Jesus called a thief, the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But this is not the language that Jesus spoke. He said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Have it to the full. If the devil's mission is death and destruction, then the mission of Jesus is life and resurrection. A similar situation occurred another time when one of the close friends of Jesus, he receives word that his friend Lazarus was dying. But when he hears the news, it says in John 11:4 that he said to his disciples, this sickness is not going to end in death. No, it's for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus was hinting at what was to come, but he didn't go back right away to get Lazarus well. And after 2 days, he turns to his disciples and he says to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep and I'm going to go and wake him up. And his disciples are all confused and they're thinking, why would Jesus wake up Lazarus if he's sick and he's sleeping? And so Jesus, I don't know if he rolled his eyes. I sort of imagine maybe he did when they couldn't see him or something. But he says to them, he's dead, guys. He's dead. And by the time Jesus shows up, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days and he's already in a tomb with a stone in front of it. And Martha, one of the sisters of Lazarus, comes out to meet Jesus as he approaches the city. And the same despair is in her voice that's in the friends of Jairus. And she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But despite these words, it seems as though Martha has this faint hope that maybe this isn't the end of the story, because she says, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. The possibility of a resurrection seems to be forming inside of her, and Jesus breathes upon these embers by declaring, your brother will rise again. Martha answers, I know. He will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus says these words to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. These are such incredible words that Jesus said to her. I am the resurrection and the life. He doesn't say I will be the cause of the resurrection or bring about a resurrection. He says, I am the resurrection. Resurrection power is so synonymous with who Jesus is that he personifies it in himself. Church, when Jesus speaks, life is formed. What Jesus touches revives. With him, nothing is truly dead. It's only sleeping. As Jesus overhears the friends of Jairus telling him, why bother? He looks at Jairus and he says, don't be afraid, just believe. There's an exhortation to have hope, even though he doesn't tell Jairus what's going to happen. And he continues with him to the house where he finds a whole group of people wailing and crying. It says in verse 9, he went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. Notice again the language that Jesus uses. But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. You see, sometimes the voices of doubt and despair need to be removed from us. I tell you, they are demonic voices inspired by the thief himself. They do not reflect heaven. And he takes her by the hand and he says to her, Talitha cum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. Jesus had declared to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the life. And on the day the disciples saw the empty tomb, They discovered how true a statement this really was. Even the grave could not hold Jesus. And from that moment on, they realized that anything was possible. In every situation, Jesus has the final say.
Amen.
You see, what is dead to you and what is dead to me is only sleeping to Jesus. And so the challenge to you and I is to live in this truth and to let it shape how we see and let it shape how we speak. We also need to realize that if Jesus is in us, then resurrection power is in us as well. Paul said in Romans 8 verse 11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit that lives within you. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, that Spirit of resurrection is within you. That means God can breathe life in those areas of your life that are dead and rotting. It also means that you can move in the same power and with the same authority. As you speak the word of God into your situations that are dead and dying, I tell you something, the power of God is released to bring life. As Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus, he commanded, "Roll away the stone." Well, clearly Martha hasn't yet got the full revelation of who Jesus truly is, because she says, "Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. It's going to be horribly smelly. It's going to be terrible." But Jesus responds, "Didn't I tell you that you would see the glory of God if you would just believe?" So they rolled the stone aside, and Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of the people standing here so that they would believe you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face still wrapped in the head cloth. And Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Church, I believe God would challenge us this morning that the culture of heaven is a culture shaped by resurrection power. Therefore, we are compelled to look at those things in our life that appear dead and see them through different eyes. Are they dead or are they just sleeping? God would challenge us about whose voice we're listening to. Is it the voice of "why bother?" Or is it the voice that declares, "I am the resurrection and the life"? What are the declarations in our mouths? Are we joining the voices of those who are declaring it's futile? The voice of the mockers? The voice of the thief? Or do we speak the language of heaven, calling those things that are dead and rotten back to life? As citizens of heaven, God has called us to bring his kingdom to the earth. We are to be voices of hope, voices of healing, of deliverance wherever we go. That's who we are as citizens of heaven. We carry inside of us the message of salvation, a message of freedom. To those who are in despair, let our voices rise with the truth. It's not over. There is one named Jesus who is the resurrection, and he is the life, and with him all things are possible. As we get this revelation of the resurrection, another way it changes our viewpoint is that we begin to see our past differently. In the story of the resurrection of Lazarus and Jesus, we see some similarities. Both were in a tomb covered by a stone that was rolled away. But there was something very different about how they came out of their tombs. When Jesus left the tomb, He left his grave clothes behind. With Lazarus, it was different. We read, and the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth, and Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Church, I want to suggest to you that many times we've experienced the power of the resurrection, but only to a measure. And we still have things from our past that are clinging to us as we try to walk forward, and they are limiting us from being all who God has called us to be. Have you ever had that horrible experience walking out of a bathroom with a piece of toilet paper stuck to your shoe? It's embarrassing because you look like an idiot and everyone that sees you knows where you've been. My friends, this reminds me of our great adversary, the devil, who always wants to rob from us and limit us. And so even though many of us have experienced the power, the resurrection power of God, he continues to fight against us. And not only does he come to whisper, why bother, in those places of disappointment, but he also comes to accuse us in places of past brokenness with the words, I know where you've been. I know who you are. He loves to come and tell us, you will never be free. You will always be defined by what happened to you. You will always be limited by your past. You are stuck with it. Well, Satan is called an accuser in the scriptures for a reason. It's what he does. He's an accuser of the brethren. But we must remember that the accuser is a liar. All he speaks are lies. Notice that Jesus left the tomb with no trace of our sin that had brought death upon him. There was nothing stuck on him because he had completely destroyed the works of the devil. Jesus was so transformed that when he left the tomb, his own disciples didn't even recognize him initially. The only thing that remained were the scars on his hands and feet, but they are symbols of victory and will forever show that he is the one who defeated sin and death. And Jesus had declared that he came to set the captives free. He said, if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. The old things have passed away. They were buried in that water. Behold, new things have come. My friends, this is the reality of the resurrection. If you are in Christ, then you are a new creation. All the stains of your sin have been removed. Your past or where you have been does not need to define you any longer. Where there are still things from the past that are trying to cling on to us, I believe Jesus is shouting out, take those grave clothes off and let them go. You see, Jesus didn't come to just save your soul but leave you bound. He came to completely destroy the works of the devil, the scripture says. He's not interested in a partial victory and a resurrection, but you're still walking around in your grave clothes. He came to set you free. Paul emphasized this great truth in Romans 6 when he declared, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we've been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. And now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Wow, what a passage. My friends, this is why baptism services are so powerful. We are publicly declaring that we are followers of Jesus, but it's more than that. We are publicly declaring to the forces of darkness and to our accuser that we believe and know the truth. We know who we are. When Christ died for my sin, I died with him. My old self was buried with him. When he rose in victory, I rose in victory with him. I'm not a slave anymore. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of God. I'm dead to the power of sin. I'm alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's our position. When the enemy comes to accuse us, we need to remind him that he lost all his claim on our lives when Jesus came walking out of that tomb. As Jesus heals us and delivers us, yeah, there might be some scars, but those scars are like the scars in the hands of Jesus. They're just testimonies of the healing power of God to set us free. I used to be like that, but this scar is a reminder that I'm not that anymore. I've been healed. I've been set free. I've been delivered. Church, the culture of heaven is one of victory. It's one of overcoming. It's one of hope. As citizens of heaven, my challenge to you is that our mouths need to carry this message wherever we go. We are to be agents of hope, declaring that with God, all things are possible. Declaring that even in the things we don't understand, God is above it all. Because he's the resurrection and the life, we know that God causes everything to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. He has the final say.
He does.
So let his words be in our mouth. Let us prophesy hope and declare that we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Let us live with great expectation and let us pray prayers of anticipation. Let us speak freedom to the captives around us. Because he is the resurrection, there will be beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, praise for heaviness. There will be comebacks in the setbacks and new beginnings at the dead ends. And even when we grieve, we don't grieve as those who have no hope. Aren't you glad we serve a God who is the resurrection and the life? Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? I want to pray for people this morning. I don't want to just preach theory. I want to live in the reality of it. I want to pray for those this morning who've never known Jesus as their Savior. And then I want to pray for those this morning that are feeling bound, sick in their bodies. We're going to believe this morning for the power of God to bring freedom, to bring healing, to bring deliverance. Some of you need a hope infusion, a faith infusion. Some of you just need the discouragement of the enemy and the whispers of the enemy broken off of you. And I believe there's power this morning to set you free. Amen. But before we do that, I want to just give those an opportunity today. If you've never known Jesus as your Savior, then you have yet to experience the power of the resurrection. Jesus came to make a way for you to be free from sin, to have an eternity with him in heaven. It was all accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Your sins were there. He died in your place. And he made available to you his righteousness. But you still have to receive it. It's there as a free gift. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. You simply receive it. You say, how do I receive it? The Bible says by placing your faith in what Jesus did. By confessing with your mouth that he is the Lord. And so if there's never been a moment in your life where you've, in a sense, knelt down at the cross and received the salvation and humbled yourself and repented before Almighty God and said, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, become the Lord of my life, then you need to. Because only that will bring the Holy Spirit inside of you, the Spirit of the resurrection and the promise of eternal life. And so today, I want to give you that opportunity to receive Jesus as your Savior. I'm going to lead us in a prayer of salvation. Would everyone just bow their heads with me and close their eyes as I lead us in this prayer? If you're here this morning, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. If you say, Pastor, I need Jesus as my Savior. I need you to include me in that prayer of salvation. I'm outside of the grace of God. Would you just lift your hand where I can see it this morning? I want to pray for you. Is there anybody here this morning? See some hands raised. Anybody else? I'm just going to give you that opportunity. You can put your hands down. Jesus, I come before you this morning recognizing that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, but I thank you that when there was no way, you came and made the way. I thank you that when you died on the cross, you died for me. And today I place my faith and my trust in what you did on that rugged cross. I confess my sin before you, and I ask you to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Today I choose to follow you all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your salvation and your grace. I thank you for the power of the resurrection that makes what was dead inside of me alive, a new creation. Thank you, mighty God. I want to open the altars this morning. I want to pray for those of you who are sick in your bodies. To me, that's some of the grave clothes. I believe that Jesus is here this morning to remove those grave clothes. So if you're sick in your body, I want you to just come out of your seats and just stand along the front. I'm going to pray for you. Come on. We believe in the healing power of God or what? Come. Come. I want to pray for you. I don't care how long you've been sick. I don't care how many prayers have been prayed. I want you to come this morning. We've preached about the resurrection power of God. Let's believe for that. I want to invite you as well this morning. If you just feel like I've just been under a cloud of oppression, a cloud of depression, discouragement, heaviness, if the whispers of the enemy have been like a roar in your ears, then come this morning. There's no shame in just coming and saying, would you pray for me? Would you stand with me? There's power in agreement. There's power when we lay our hands on one another and declare the truth over one another. And so I want our pastors and our life group leaders and our prophetic people on our teams, I want you to come now. I want us to lay hands on everyone that's here this morning. I don't want anybody to not have a hand laid on them. We're all ministers of Jesus. We all have the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Let's be agents of healing. Let's be agents of deliverance this morning.
By your Spirit I will rise.
Thank you, Lord God.
Ashes of defeat.
I'm going to pray, but I want us to just begin to pray for people where they're at. Thank you, mighty God. 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 Lord, this morning, in Jesus' name, I just stand against all resistance of the enemy. I stand against the thief. I stand against the liar. I stand against the accuser this morning in the name of Jesus. Stand against those spirits of oppression and depression. I stand against the heaviness and the weariness and the doubts and the discouragement and the negativity and the whispers and the lies. Stand against them today in the name of Jesus and just declare that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Just declare the truth that Jesus is the resurrection in the life. Even as you stand there, begin to declare with your own mouth, Jesus is the resurrection in the life. Begin to speak to the forces of darkness. Begin to speak back to the whispers and the lies of the enemy. And say, yeah, but my God is the resurrection in the life. Begin to war with the words of your own mouth. Speak the truth and declare the truth. As we lay hands upon the people of God, we release the power of God. In Jesus' name, we release the power of God, the chain breaking, sickness delivering power of God right now in the name of Jesus. We come against the spirits of infirmity, the spirits of disease in the mighty name of Jesus. We come against the torments of the enemy in Jesus' name, the oppression of the devil in the name of Jesus. We declare as Jesus did, as he shouted at Lazarus, remove those grave clothes. Let the people of God go free. Today, in the name of Jesus, we break off all limitations. The limiting, discouraging power of the devil. We declare that our God is greater to deliver. Our God is greater to save. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus.
To break every chain.
Just come against the spirit of fear this morning in Jesus' name. That crippling spirit of fear. That crippling spirit of worry. Be silenced in the name of Jesus. Be silenced in the name of Jesus. Let there be a faith infusion this morning. Let there be a hope infusion in the people of God today. The peace of God rule over fear this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, mighty God. Just come against the lies of the enemy that whisper and shout, I know where you've been. You'll always be this way. You're stuck with this issue. You're stuck with that habit. You're stuck with this. We just declare this morning that our God can break us out of every prison, can break us out of every chain, can remove everything that holds us and binds us. And we just declare as Jesus that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We just declare to the forces of darkness, I once was like that, but now I've been found. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I'm free. I once was a slave, but now I'm a son. And so we take authority over the lies of the enemy. Devil, go in Jesus' name. Accuser, go in the name of Jesus. We have overcome you by the blood of the Lamb. And we testify that we are free, that we are sons and we are daughters. The mighty name of Jesus. We're just going to continue to pray for those that are here. You're free to go. If you feel like, man, I should have come forward, it's not too late. We want to pray for you this morning. Be blessed, church.
Because there is power in the name of Jesus.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus. We'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.